You're listening to another episode of Our Delaware Valley. I'm your host, Marcus Goldman. With me today are Russell Craig and Jesse Primes from the Mural Arts Program of Philadelphia, as well as Carrie Fowler-Bender, who is the spokesperson for Mural Arts Philadelphia. And they're here to talk about Mural Arts Month and all of the awesome things that are happening in the city of Philadelphia the month of October, as well as the Portraits of Justice Project that is happening. Folks, thank you very much for stopping by to chat about art today.
Thank you for having us.
Before we start talking about Mural Arts Month and all of the exciting events that are happening, do you want to give a background on yourselves and how you became involved with the Mural Arts program here in Philadelphia?
I'm an artist from Philadelphia. Started working with Mural Arts. I got connected to them through Greaterford Prison. They have a program in which inmates can participate in painting murals, and that's how I got connected to Mural Arts.
Yeah, and I'm Jesse Crimes. Very similar kind of thing. So I'm originally from Lancaster, moved here to Philly after I came home from federal prison. And so me and Russell both came home around the same time, hired through Mural Arts' restorative justice program, kind of hit it off from there, and have been making artwork with them ever since.
Were you doing, when you were in prison, were you doing a lot of artwork there to keep yourself busy and to keep yourself occupied?
Absolutely.
Same with you?
Yep, all the time, every day.
Now, do you have a particular style of artwork that you were focusing on, or were you kind of branching out and figuring yourself out?
A little bit of both. So, like, before I went in, I was primarily making sculptural objects. But being in prison, you don't really have access to sculptural objects, so kind of frowned upon to make that in there. So I had to figure out a way and use the materials that were available. So I was like basically taking bed sheets, transferring images out of the newspaper, using hair gel and a spoon, and would transfer the ink onto the sheets, come back with like number two pencils or colored pencils and draw over top of it. So that was like something that I was kind of learning in the space. But yeah, that piece in particular grew into something that was 15 feet tall and 40 feet long, which I just made in pieces and then kind of smuggled out of the prison system over a period of 3 years.
Wow.
And that you mentioned that piece, I was just in Temple and you have like a fan. She was like really excited, knew all about. And then Dante or something like that, did that have something to do with the piece or motivated the piece? Because she knew like about it. She
was a fan. Dante's Divine Comedy was like one of the big kind of theoretical backings behind the concept of the work.
Did you read that while you were there?
I did. Yeah, I just connected to it. I mean, It's like we were basically in hell. And so all of the nine circles of hell, it kind of like just really fit in the way that he used his contemporaries to kind of illustrate that and how he transitioned. It was just something I really connected to and used as inspiration for the piece.
Did you feel at times all of those nine parts while you were there?
For sure.
Like definitely?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting throwing that book into the mix. Just it's kind of mind-blowing to wrap your head around it. But from the outside, it makes sense, but you lived it, so you directly understand that.
Yeah.
Did you read Dante's Divine Comedy as well while you were there?
No, I'm not a big reader. I read a couple books that had to do with like techniques with art, and that's pretty much. I read a Tupac book just because I was like interested and I was a fan of Tupac, but other than that, only art books is which I read.
Yeah, in like 1985, he won a rap competition in Baltimore as a 14-year-old kid.
I ain't surprised.
Kid was amazing back then and very intelligent, so.
Yeah, he was deep.
What kind of art do you do?
Well, nowadays I experiment with a lot of different disciplines, a lot of different materials, but like when I was inside, I was primarily like a portrait artist and I dibbed and dabbed in a little sculpture, like soap sculptures and paper mache, like a homemade paper mache I would like make, didn't like master it or go too deep with it. It was primary portraits because like I had like a business of like drawing people's family members or themselves and sending it out. So I was like, that's like all I did really.
It's interesting to hear how people develop their styles, and everybody's style is so unique and individual to themselves that it's cool to hear. How did you get involved with the Mural Arts program?
Well, they have a section of the auditorium. It was different like art going on, like music, video, and it was like very limited to like the things that they was allowing or access to have. And then they also had the art component in which Mural Arts was there. So I couldn't get into the program officially because it was filled. So I would just go and like volunteer and things like that. And then I heard that Mural Arts was having a meeting. So I like I was going to the library to get one of those books about art. And I slid into the auditorium. It's called an unauthorized area when you go somewhere you ain't supposed to be. Because this was like my opportunity to like meet some people that was in the art world. Because that was my plan. When I got out, I figured I was going to be an artist, because like when you got felonies, it's hard to like get jobs, almost like kind of impossible if you want like a real job. So my whole plan was to like learn art really technical and then be a tattoo artist, and not just like doing tattoos, but doing them like very well by really having like art knowledge and stuff like that. But once I heard the mural arts was in the auditorium, that I needed to speak to somebody, you know, and try to, you know, try my hand to get in. And it, I was successful. I met Robin Buseman and Jane Golden, and they gave me their card. Robin gave me her contact and said, when I get out, to contact her. So I did a year and a half later. She didn't even remember who I was. I had the jogger memory. But and when I was at Temple, where Jesse had a young lady that was really, very happy about his work and stuff like that, I was invited by Robin, because now she retired from mural arts and now teach there. Cool. So that's kind of like the story.
Let's talk a little bit about Mural Arts Month and some of the exciting things that are happening. Before we get started, Carrie, do you want to give out the website, the social media information, so people can get more information? We'll jump right into it.
You can find all about Mural Arts Month at muralarts.org, and the phone number is 215-685-0750.
Now, we have a big month ahead.
We do.
With some exciting events happening that are open to the public, families, everything. Do you want to talk about some of these thrilling events that are happening and why people should make sure that they come into Philadelphia, especially during the beautiful month of October?
Well, it's funny because Jane Golden, the head of Mural Arts, saw that San Francisco had a Mural Arts Week and decided we had to be bigger than that. So we have a Mural Arts Month that's got more than 30 events in more than 20 locations all across the city of Philadelphia. And one of the biggest, most fun public events is our Barnes on the Block Remix, a massive block party in cooperation with the Barnes Foundation, which is on October 7th in the evening. So come on out tonight and hear about it. And see, and come join us. And of course, the Portraits of Justice project that we're hearing about today from Jesse and Russell has a series of performances, including a really interesting simulation, so you can go experience what it's like to come out of the criminal justice system and see the hurdles that you have to overcome. And you can register for that event. It's a really cool, interactive, very powerful set of simulations as part of the Portraits of Justice project. And we have a couple of symposiums. You want to get your thinking cap on. You want to be changed by what art can do in our community. That's what Mural Arts is all about. But there's also some really fun stuff. And Federal Donuts has a Mural Arts Month donut. And you can, for a dollar of the every donut that's sold, goes back to public art in our city. So there's all kinds of really nice, fun public events. There's Octavius V. Caddo, who is an inspirational civil rights figure from the 19th century, is getting his own mural on a school in South Philadelphia. There's a really interesting Spanish art collective that took a bunch of school desks and recycled them into planters to transform a school. There's an amazing project with the Philadelphia Water Department right across from the Convention Center called Water Gives Life. It's a beautiful new mural. And there's all kinds of great public events for kids, adults alike.
There are also tours available so people can see multiple murals at once.
One of the great things is I think probably most Philadelphians have their favorite mural, and they may like it because they were involved in creating it, which of course is the model that Mural Arts uses to involve the community in the creation of their public art, but may not know the stories behind them. And with 4,000 murals we've created over almost 35 years, every mural has a story. Well, just like Jesse and Russell have a story about the creation of Portraits of Justice, every mural has a story, and you can hear all the stories if you take a tour. We have walking tours, we have Segway tours, we have trolley tours, we have take the subway and go see Steve Powers' Love Letter Project in West Philly. So there's all kinds of ways to experience them. We have a whole page on our website at muralarts.org where you can register for some of our great tours during Mural Arts Month, but also all year long.
Gentlemen, do you want to talk a little bit about the big project you have, Portraits of Justice? Let's hear a little bit about it. It is one of the big features for the Mural Arts Month for 2018.
So, I mean, just to give some kind of overall context, Mural Arts got this amazing grant from the Ford Foundation. And so Agnes Gund, who is a big art collector and philanthropist, sold one of her most prized possessions, a Roy Lichtenstein painting, for $160 million and ended up donating all of that money to start a criminal justice initiative across the country. And so as a part of that, Mural Arts is one of the inaugural grantees of that new fund, the Art for Justice Fund. So through that, Mural Arts, Jane Golden, asked me and Russell to create a project around issues of criminal justice specific to what's going on here in Philadelphia. And so we partnered with the MacArthur and Safety and Justice Challenge that is working very closely with the city of Philadelphia to lower the jail incarceration rates here in the city. Because myself and Russell have both been incarcerated, we've been through pretty much every facet of the system. It made sense for us to kind of create a project that would explore some of these issues or help to highlight some of the things that the city is hoping to do as they're trying to make significant reforms to lower mass incarceration. So as a part of that, myself and Russell created this design. We basically walked around the city looking for a site. Like, where is a place that we could find in the city that would have the most impact, and particularly like talk to people who may not think about issues of criminal justice? Like, how do we engage an audience that may not come across it as often, but, you know, we can kind of create this space for people to kind of contemplate some of these issues and also help to humanize people who have come home from prison. And I know that's a ridiculous thing to say because everyone's already human, but in today's society, sometimes you have to do a little bit more to get people to connect. So we basically found a site at the Municipal Services Building right across from City Hall, and we decided to create this massive project wrapping all of the windows of the MSB building. And the mural is going to be a combination of things that are hand-painted and digitally printed, and they're installed over top of the windows, and so they're also transparent. Well, they're simultaneously, like, they're very vivid when the lights are on inside, but also somewhat transparent. And there's another component that we kind of figured out painfully in doing a bunch of experiments, but there's going to be an element of this process where people who come out to these programmatic events are able to go up to the windows, erase away a section of the bricks. So there's like a brick background. They'll be able to erase away a section of the bricks, which represent all of these barriers to reentry, and replace it with solution-based ideas. And I think Russell can probably talk a lot more about some of the other visual elements, like the portraits and all of those things.
He really hit the majority of it in the head, like real good for you not to be a morning person.
I didn't say anything about the portraits, though.
I know. I got that part, but I'm glad you was able to throw that all in there. We chose the imagery is portraits of participants of the Mural Arts Guild program, which is young women and men that's like first-time offenders or just starting off in like the criminal kind of career, kind of a lifestyle in which we're trying to like change their mindset. So we came up with the idea to incorporate their portraits as like the focal of the mural, and basically wanted to like have them in dignified imagery to try to uplift them and also like show the people, and like Jesse was saying, humanize folks that's like, you know, view is less than majority of the time.
And these are like young men and women who have, it's often their first interaction with the criminal justice system. And so this also serves as a sort of diversion program, right? Where it's like, how do we stop people from going down that path and help people build themselves in a very positive way? And so the people that are depicted in this mural are all doing very positive things, right? They're contributing back to the community. They're doing incredible things. And they're not only dignified, incredibly dignified portraits, they also serve as positive role models for other young men and women who come into contact with the criminal justice system, and to show that, you know, change is possible and that people change all of the time. And so we're trying to create that space to have these dialogues, have these conversations. And so that's why we were featuring, you know, a lot of people in the city who may have made one mistake, but have made numerous positive contributions after that mistake. And so no one should ever be defined by one mistake in their life.
Agreed. And there is definitely a need for big reform with our criminal justice system. We could have a discussion about that all day long. It's definitely something that we need to work on, and dehumanizing people who go behind bars is just an awful, awful thing that we do as a society, and we need to change that. So I'm glad that you're making an impact in that way. It's a hard topic to talk about also.
And that's one of the things I think Jesse in his art and his practice in particular has been very, very thoughtful about, which is, how do we not just react, but how do we have positive change?
In Europe, we're seeing success with prisons closing down because they're so successful in rehabilitating and not dehumanizing the inmates. And the system here is very, it seems very Lord of the Flies at times and very right. awful. And
very
survival
punitive.
Of the fittest and very pugilistic, I would say. Yeah. That doesn't need to be that way. If we focused on things like education and areas like that, we could right. make a difference. So.
Yeah, and it actually doesn't increase public safety by being a system that is more punitive than rehabilitative. You know, it actually increases the probability for people to come home and feel even more disenfranchised.
Absolutely. And it definitely doesn't decrease the cycle of violence. So you're absolutely right. And that's something that we definitely have to work on. But the fact that you're able to make an impact through your art and show positive change is a huge way, because art and music are two of the biggest powerful components of change, because everybody can relate to them. It's great you're doing what you're doing. Do you want to give out the website, the social media information, and then we'll talk a little bit more about the Portraits of Justice and the events you have going on around the Portraits of Justice this month?
It's muralarts.org, and the phone number is 215-685-0750. Learn all about our 30-plus events happening during Mural Arts Month, and it spills over a little into November. It goes all the way till November 3rd.
And if you're interested in following me on Instagram, it's at Jesse_crimes, K-R-I-M-E-S.
And my Instagram is r.craig.t1, and you can see some examples of the Portraits of Justice, because I just was there the other day, took a little, I didn't take like a crazy picture because it wasn't complete when I was there, but once it get complete, then I'll show like better pictures, I guess you could say.
Do you have any events happening around the Portraits of Justice that you want to talk about, and what times and dates are they happening?
Right, so the opening of Portraits of Justice happens on Friday, October 5th from 5 to 7 p.m. And as a part of that opening event, there is a world-renowned poet who is also coming to do this. He's also formerly incarcerated, Reginald Dwayne Betts. And so he's going to be reading some poetry from one of his newest creations that hasn't been public yet. So this is kind of the launching, and it's also his first time coming to Philadelphia. And he is an absolutely brilliant poet. And I'm not really a fan of poetry, but I'm a fan of this guy and his poetry. And then on Thursday, October 11th from 5 to 7, there is a performance by Shantina Vernon, and she'll be creating a kind of participatory storytelling workshop where she's asking participants to consider the cost of our current incarceration system and how it impacts communities. On Thursday, October 18th, from 5 to 7 p.m., there is a writer and an activist, Sue Ellen Allen, who is doing a reentry simulation called Overcoming Barriers to Reentry. And this is an incredibly powerful event because it's something where the community can come and actually participate in the simulation to get a kind of feel of what it's like to encounter all of the barriers when you come home, how hard it is to actually overcome some of them. And then on Thursday, October 25th from 6 to 9 p.m., there is a local Philadelphia musician and filmmaker, Mary Baxter, and she is going to be doing a three-part musical performance called Labels. And so she's going to be doing the live performance. There's going to be a video of something that she's put together. And the thing is that all of these performances are designed to interact with the mural. And so when the community comes out and they listen to Reginald Dwayne Betts read his poetry, there'll be a Q&A, and then there'll be prompts for people to go and make their solution-based ideas or put their solution-based ideas onto the mural after erasing away this brick background. And so that's going to be the same for every event because, again, we really want to find ways to engage with the community and also like talk about a lot of the issues that the city itself is working on to reform.
Russell, anything you want to add as far as from the art aspect? Anything that people should be looking for or going for when they come to see Portraits of Justice?
Well, I think everything was covered, but another detail is if you visit the mural at night, it glows from the lights from the inside because it's like transparent. So we're working on that to make sure that it has the effect in which we plant. But so it has like a two-way to view it. And then also from the inside, it really has an impact from like the inside out too. So we didn't really plan that at first, like that it would be that, because I was there and it was like really, I'm like, this is awesome from the inside. So if you get a chance to see it, I think you'll be like blown away by the visual impact. And then if you listen and you got like the inside detail. So I look forward to it myself.
And I just want to add that on Friday, November 2nd, from 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., there's going to be a Portraits of Justice Symposium at the International House at 3701 Chestnut Street. And so that's going to be a major symposium, which is free to the public, so anyone can attend, and we encourage you to come out because we have a full lineup of people who are speaking. So I know the district attorney, Larry Krasner, is going to be there. The mayor is going to be there. Bill Cobb, former director of the ACLU Smart on Justice campaign. And the final fellow from the Reimagining Reentry Fellow, Luis Suave Gonzalez. And he's going to be having his entire exhibit as a portion of the symposium as well. And he'll also be one of the featured speakers during this event.
Will you touch on that part of the Portraits of Justice where people can erase and put a solution again and explain that again? Because it blew me away when you said that. And I think it's got a lot of impact and it's an important thing that we should touch on again.
Yeah, that's probably the most important conceptual part of this piece is like, how do we design something that can be in public space, but also be directly engaged with? And so the overall design of this is 17 massive portraits. They're about 25 feet tall and they're wrapping all of the windows, but they're against a brick background. And so we're through the programming, through this erasure process, we're going to go up and erase away these bricks, turning these windows back to a transparent structure. And so to do that, we have the solution that we'll be able to kind of wipe on the wall, let it sit for a minute, wipe it off. And, you know, it's basically symbolizing a way to kind of tear down all of these barriers and then have the community come out and have their ideas to reform the system, to have solutions to this and add it onto the place where these barriers were, these brick walls, and add that on with window markers. And so it can be as creative as people want. It can be text-based, it can be imagery, but the whole idea is to get people to engage in a way that is kind of direct and immediate. And, you know, so often I think that artwork, like music, has a way to connect with people that kind of bypasses all of the ways of verbal communication, or like when you tell someone statistics or numbers, it's a very cold way of informing people. But when you make people feel something and then ask them to respond, I feel like you can get incredibly powerful moments out of that.
And have you guys seen good success as far as results when you've shown or discussed this with other people as far as the project goes, people that maybe are very far outside the project but just hearing about it?
Everything I experienced was positive. And I don't usually go into heavy detail as like Jesse. Jesse will give you like all the nooks and crannies of things. When I give him like the basics of like what we do, what the art means, things like that. And like also like with the guild, like I teach them art classes and stuff. And I go beyond just the art project. Like I try to give them like lessons and from my experience and stuff like that. So all that stuff ties into the work. And me and Jesse coming from that experience as well, we tie it in and explain to people. And I never experience like negativity, even if it's coming from people that has no connection and don't really understand. So it kind of opens them up, and I don't know how far it goes after, you know, we disperse from our conversation, but it's been all positive, basically positive from my experience.
And do you guys want to give out your Instagram handles again so people can not only check out the Portraits of Justice, but your other artwork, which I'm sure is on display at those Instagram accounts?
My Instagram is r.craig.t1.
And I'm at Jesse Crimes, Jesse_Crimes, K-R-I-M-E-S.
And do you want to give out, Carrie, the social media information for the Mural Arts program?
Everything is at Mural Arts, and we have great social media teams. So follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, take your pick. Obviously, great imagery all during Mural Arts Month, and our social media team is at it with the Instagram stories. So come check out our events.
And gentlemen, anything you want to throw in there before we wrap it up? Anything you want to add as far as wrap-ups go for Mural Arts Month, for art, anything?
I just want to say thank you for having us, and it was a pleasure to be here.
It's nice to meet you guys as well.
Thank you.
You bet. It is time to wrap up another episode of Our Delaware Valley. Thank you so much for listening. I'm your host, Marcus Goldman. If you would like more information about today's topic or anything Our Delaware Valley related, feel free to email me, marcusgoldman@bbgi.com. Thank you again for listening. We'll see you next week. Enjoy your Sunday.